You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Online, tsn1050.ca, and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes and the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Expecting the insiders to show up at any moment now.
They must be doing insider trading or something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what they're shooting right now. Maybe the door's open for Al's brother if they're not here in 5 minutes.
Insider Alling?
Insider Alling at 6:05. Al-sider trading. So 5 minutes. The boys aren't here. They're going to have to share a mic with Al's brother. Because we're planning on having him in at the end of the hour anyway. He's going to do pro-line picks today. He's going to be here for the throwaway comment.
Isn't he giving away tickets, too?
Yeah, we got TFC playoff tickets to give away as well this hour. Because they're taking on DC United Saturday down at BMO Field. So we'll do that later in the hour. We got Michael Bradley on the show tomorrow. We're doing a lot of soccer here, man. We had KJ on yesterday, John Herdman today, Michael Bradley tomorrow.
Should we change the name of the show to On the Pitch?
Yeah, Footy Talks.
Footy Talks.
Footy Talks with the O-Dog and Brian Hayes.
We should get Andy and her husband in here to do a hit.
Yeah. Yep. I didn't see Andy talking much about it. I mean, I didn't get to see all of Leafs lunch yesterday or today, but I'm sure she was gloating about Canada winning that match.
Dude, she has seven different jobs. She's going to go Mrs. Doubtfire one day and just hop on Leafs lunch and start talking about downhill skiing.
Yeah, I know.
You know how Mrs. Doubtfire was just all confused? Was he the granny or was he...
At the restaurant when he was doing a job interview?
And he just starts shotgunning liquor and he's like... He just gets gooned and he's smoking darts and he forgets he's the granny.
Yeah.
Andy's just going to be like, what'd you think of that downhill race? Tavares was skiing down the hill.
Yeah, and Pooley's just not going to be able to bail her out.
Yeah, he'll be like, what?
He will be a deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, come on in, boys. There they are. Dregs, Bobby Mack, joining us in studio. We've been stalling. I don't know if you could pick that up.
That's good radio.
Yeah, it's always quality radio. And TV, for that matter. We're up on TSN, too. What's up, boys?
This is the new dynamic, huh? Just a two-man show.
Yeah, Noodles is out. Noodles is in Vegas tonight.
Are you bringing it? Are you bringing it, O-Dog?
I've tried my best.
Yeah, you've done very well.
I've tried my best.
We were obviously working, so we didn't hear, but we got reports that you guys were a little feisty off the top today. Is that correct?
Yeah, some backup goalie chatter, because that's what the people really want.
Well, I'm sure you guys both watched the game. Is there any of those goals where you said, Hutchinson, wow, man, he should have had that one?
No, and it doesn't matter because people are predisposed after the Sparks exercise last year.
Yeah.
And let me be clear on one thing. I'm not convinced, not based on the two games that he's played, just in general. I don't know that Michael Hutchinson is going to get the job done for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I don't either, and I actually don't think he will.
And I may well be with you on that one. But the two games that he's crashed and burned, it's been less about him crashing and burning and more about everybody in front of him crashing and burning.
Did you hear what that man said?
And yet,
he's been in the game for 40 years.
I will just speculate, take a wild stab, that Mike Babcock might feel the same as you.
I think you're right. I think he was channeling my thoughts last night.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle Dubas feels the way you do.
Yeah. I mean, it's an empty calories comment, but at some point you just got to get a stop. Like, that's what it sounds so ridiculous.
See,
it's not a deep thought.
You know the one he thought he should have stopped? The 5-on-3 goal.
The Carlson shot. I thought he hit the middle of the net. And the context, they had just given up two in about a minute and a half. Your team is unraveling. It's unfair, but that's the job. You chose to be a goalie when you were 5 years old.
Are you going to hold the rest of the team to the same standard?
No, you know what I asked about? This is what I asked
them.
I go, next time Austin Matthews, like when Austin Matthews scored those goals, like whenever he rips one under the bar, he never once comes in here and says, man, the goalie from the other team should have had that one. Never once does he ever say that.
Because he's a Leaf fan.
No, I will now. I'm an objective observer.
Oh, yeah. Corposalo, whatever that guy's name in Columbus. Nobody even saw
that. That was a great. No one's stopping that.
Great thought.
Nobody's stopping that.
I mean, at the end of the day, though, doesn't it boil down to there's just a general sense that the backup goaltender for the Toronto Maple Leafs isn't good enough. But you can go around the National Hockey League, and there aren't that many teams that have, you know, Koskinen and Smith seem to be working well in Edmonton. I'm okay with Anderson and Nielsen in Ottawa, but, you know,
Boston's got a decent duo.
Boston's got a good tandem. If you don't have two of them, you want a better backup.
And I don't have a problem with, I know Dave Poulin does, and he's on record as saying it. I don't have a problem with Babcock religiously starting Freddie in the first game
Mike
of the back to backs.
Same way. He doesn't mind it at all.
No matter. I have no problem with that. 2 points is 2 points.
Right.
And if you think a well rested Freddie in game one is your best bet to get 2 points out of four, and then you, but you are throwing your backup to the Wolves here.
Oh yeah.
Let's be honest. You're putting the lesser goalie in against a well rested team, and in many instances it turns out to be a better team.
Yeah.
So Minnesota Wild, Washington Capitals. Washington Capitals. So, and the same thing when Montreal was well rested on opening night, at least played the night before in Columbus. So you're setting a much higher bar for your backup goaltender to get to. That's got to be taken into consideration too.
Yeah. Well, he's going to start Montreal, Washington, Boston, Montreal.
Yeah.
If it plays out the way we expect it to play.
Right. And when, what do most backup goalies get? Most backup goalies get to play on the night when the other team started. I used to think there was a rule in the NHL that the teams would get together and decide, let's play our backups against each other tonight, because on a night when one backup was playing, a lot of times the other backup was playing. But it's a lot of back-to-backs early in the season in October. And whatever you want to say about Hutchison, and as I said, I'm not the president of his fan club or whatever, but if you're gonna rip somebody apart, start with Riley and all the defense and Tavares, all the injured Tavares and Matthews and all the forwards, because
yeah, there's every bad line changes, lost battles, lost assignments.
Because in each of those games where Hutchison played, they collapsed in front of him. He gave them a chance to win both games, and they lost.
Well, they're 4-3-1, and now Tavares is out for a minimum of 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's got to be more, right?
I think it's got to be. Life. I mean, probably maybe three, maybe four. I don't know. If it's a fractured finger, I mean.
I always say those things, 2-4, 4-6, 6-8, take your pick, which one is it?
Right. But what do you think the mood's like with the Leafs right now? They can't be happy, clearly, about the way they're playing, but this is one more hurdle.
It is, but isn't it about testing other players? Right now there's opportunity for guys to step into that type of a role, be it Austin Matthews, go down the list, you know. Kerfoot, any of the guys that they have working up the middle of the ice, you're going to get a bigger role with Tavares out. So nothing you can do about the injury. You've got to find a way to battle through it, but you know it should be looked at as opportunity.
So there's Boston Bruin fans right now, and they're saying, oh, isn't that too bad? He's going to miss a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever the case may be. Bergeron missed a month last year.
Yeah.
At the same time that Chara was out, at the same time that McAvoy was out, at the same time that Carlo was out, and then later after them, it was Pasternak was out. I mean, and they didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, if you want
to
be a good
Dubas
team.
Has mentioned that. He said, you know, we want to be like that, where we lose key players and we just keep on trucking.
I there wasn't a week went by last year, because I do a gazillion radio hits a week, where I used to talk about the Bruins last year and say, look at this guy's out of the lineup, that guy's in the lineup, don't even miss a beat. And that's so, to Dreg's point, I got to believe Mike Babcock's going to say to Austin Matthews, you're the guy.
Own it.
Yeah. You're getting paid a lot of money.
Mitch.
Yep. Step up.
Those are the two
you're
guys.
Almost $11 million man. Yep. Let's go.
I'd put them together too. Go ahead.
And that, yeah, maybe. But, well, you could, but I don't know that the, you know, does Nylander shift to the middle now? I don't think so. I could be wrong. Maybe he will.
Well, Spez is, he might come out of the press box.
He should come out of the press box. So the in order, it would
again,
be.
Again, opportunity.
The pressure will be on, in order, Matthews to step up, Kerfoot to move up, and Spezza to come on down and get into the lineup.
Yeah.
See, my thought process is Spezza, come on down and move up and play in that position, the second line centerman.
Wow.
That's what you're most comfortable doing. You've been that in that role your whole career. Just turn back the clock and give me 2 weeks. That's all I'm asking from you. I'm not asking you to do that for 82 games. 2 weeks, be a real good player. I think he can do it. As opposed to everybody saying, this is what you can't do. You can't take draws. You can't penalty kill. You can't blah, blah, blah. Go and do it. And I think he can do it.
Well, but wouldn't you consider Kerfoot moving him up?
No, he's a third-line player in the National Hockey League every day, all day, every day of the week. And you move him up, you're asking for too much, and you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
Now, they moved Mikheyev up last night with Tavares and Marner. So you have you had Mikheyev up there. You had Marner up there. Now Tavares is out. Do you just put Kerfoot in there? Because Kerfoot's been playing well with Mikheyev and Moore on the third line. I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to see
That's what I think he does.
Going to be fascinating to see what Babcock does here.
Well, the pressure's on him, man. It now social media is a toxic place, and it certainly is not
really?
An exact science. Yeah, you'd be shocked. I'll tell you some stories one day, but it's all Babcock now. Whenever they lose a game, you go on there, and it's his fault every single game.
Yeah, there's always one tweet saying, "Oh, you know, they should have just pulled the coach." Or it's always there's a coach one just thrown in there.
I mean, that's Toronto. That's a big hockey market.
Who cares? Like social media.
Right.
Like,
he's not going anywhere.
If that was the case, then if Mike Babcock felt that pressure from social media, which he won't, but if he did, I could be pretty damn sure that he's going to transfer that to Matthews and Marner and Kerfoot and Spezza and all these guys and saying, hey, you know.
Have we figured out what his account is yet? Babcock?
He's on there. You know he's on there. 100%
he's on.
I bet he's not.
He is. Yeah, absolutely, because I've had conversation where he's let it slip. So either somebody has told him about some Twitter noise, or he's seen it directly.
I'll bet you he's on there.
There wouldn't be many coaches and managers who aren't. I mean, there's probably some obvious guys. I don't think Lou is spending a whole lot of time on Twitter.
No, but he might suggest he should be on there to know what his players are up to.
Sure.
Like, I remember we hire
people for that.
Yeah, but we had Dallas Aikens on years ago when I think he was still with the Marlies. And he's on Twitter. He's still active on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked him about that, and he said a lot of it is I want to know what my players are up to online.
If Lou's on Twitter, he's got an egg.
Oh, no doubt. Egg avatar for the Lou father. Are you guys buying Edmonton or selling Edmonton? Where are you at with Edmonton right now?
You know what? Points are in the bank.
No kidding.
The way I look at it.
Yeah, I'm buying it. It's not sustainable. I mean, when you look at their special teams numbers, I mean, come on. You know, you can't continue at that clip on the power play or on penalty kill. You know, I alluded to goaltending earlier. Their goaltending has been terrific. Somehow their blue line remains intact. They're getting all their offense primarily from the
two
obvious
guys.
You know,
well, James Neal.
Yeah, that's honestly, if like I wondered today as I'm searching around collecting for insider trading whether or not Kenny Holland could be lured into something sooner rather than later, maybe deviate from the plan given how successful they've been out of the gate. And he says nope. He said something lands in my lap, I'll consider it. Like you're talking about bolstering the bottom six up front. Primarily, that's what you're looking at. But he said, no, he's going to do his shopping in February, if at all. Like, they love the way things are going in Bakersfield with a handful of players, and they like the way their young guys, like Bear, are playing at the NHL level. So it's not sustainable what they're doing, but it's kind of a breath of fresh air.
I like how after the game last, so they wax Philadelphia. But Tippett's right. I mean, they should have been down by about 5 goals. Koskinen kept
really
them in the
good
game early on. They should have got blown out.
What's your guess on points for McDavid? Like, what's achievable?
135.
Yeah. I think 130 anyway.
Yeah.
How about that dummy Carlo? He gave him to me in the fantasy draft.
Come on.
Yeah, he took Kucherov. I just said, okay, bud. McDavid.
Falls in your lap.
Yeah.
Rookie last night looks good. Huh?
5 points.
Rookie move.
It is a rookie move. Bob McKenzie, Darren Dreger in studio. They might be able to get a guy out of Vegas in 20 games. This Zykov kid, who's you know tested positive for some sort of substance, and he's claiming that publicly it was
bizarre,
unknowing.
Have you guys ever seen a situation where the player,
where the team throws the player under the bus,
right under the bus, like on the freeway?
Well, it clearly is based on their knowledge and history with Valentin Zykov, right? Otherwise, there's no way that they word the press release the way that they did, saying that he knowingly took the banned substance, and then double down, because I checked as soon as the PA release came out quoting Zykov, where he said, I don't know how I tested positive.
But I'm responsible for it.
I went back to Vegas to say,
Well, he's not taking responsible. The Players Association, the agent, are saying that he did not knowingly take anything. And they
That's
doubled down.
That's always the playbook,
they
right?
They doubled down.
It's always the playbook. Oh, yeah, every absolutely. Player, they never knowingly did anything.
Yeah.
It's not over, by the way, though. He's going to serve his 20 games.
You know, right. Trainer in Vegas ever come under fire? That's two guys in their team.
Yeah, but one was wasn't one of them at the World Championships?
Yeah,
Shay.
Shay Theodore?
No, I'm talking
Nate
about
Schmidt. Nate Schmidt, rather. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. There's some.
But I think maybe that's one of the reasons. And again, I apologize to Shay Theodore.
We'll blame him. Put that up on TSN.ca.
Exactly, but Nate. But maybe, and I'm just guessing here, maybe the reason the team so clearly said knowingly is because
they're trying to bail
behind the scenes. Well, they know, okay, well, yeah, we've had a couple of guys do this, so we don't want it on us. But maybe they said to him, hey, man, don't take the stuff you're taking, or there might be some stuff there that we're not signing off on. Don't take it. And maybe he took it. I don't know. What else would be the explanation for a National Hockey League club saying of their own player he knowingly took something when he says, I'm not sure how it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so easy to get around that. You don't have to say we fully support you publicly.
Yeah.
But you could have just said we don't really have a comment and we're going to let it play out.
There will be a bit of a fight moving forward here, though, potentially between the Players Association and the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, again, the player can't appeal in this case, but, you know, the PA can file a grievance against the Golden Knights for how they described in the press release that this kid knowingly took the banned substance.
Right.
We'll see.
Oh, man. We will see. All right, boys. Good seeing you guys. Thank you for doing this.
Good-looking shirt you got with the blazer today.
Oh, I went full-blown T-shirt.
I thought that was years ago. But
No. It's coming back. Yeah, it's working. This is a Kirkland shirt, I believe.
Is
Costco.
That?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Kirkland.
I'm not spending a lot of money on white T-shirts. That's not going to happen. And the button-up, I'm looking good. I'm feeling good.
They got the $5.99 George T-shirt at Walmart.
Spectacular. The George holds up, man. Do not disparage the George name.
Joe Fresh.
Joe Fresh.
Superstore, don't be afraid.
I'm there.
Wow, you guys. You guys are killers, man.
We are. Just put it on the plastic. I don't even look at the price.
You have a line for that, but I'm not going to use it on the show.
I think I know what it is. We're all married. We don't care.
Yeah.
Darren Dreger, Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insiders in studio. Giving away a pair of playoff tickets to TFC's match on Saturday. We'll do that at some point this hour. Al's brother later in the hour as well. John Herdman up next. All right, the poll question is brought to you by JerseyFactory.com. With John Tavares out for at least a couple of weeks with a broken finger, who do you have the most faith in that can step up and carry the team? And Austin Matthews leading the poll right there with Mitch Marner, William Nylander, a bunch of people writing in. Again, the poll brought to you by JerseyFactory.com. Custom teams, uniforms, and logos at prices to suit any budget. Play like a pro and look like a pro. JerseyFactory.com. John Herdman will join us here in a moment, head coach of the men's national team. Historic win a couple of nights ago down at BMO. 2-0, brilliant play. First time in 34 years they've beaten the Americans.
I had to look twice. I thought KJ was across the desk. 2-0 and brilliant.
Wait till we get John on the line.
Johnny Herdman?
John Herdman.
Best looking soccer coach out there.
Yeah, he doesn't sound like he grew up in Sault Ste. Marie.
No, sir.
Let's put it that way. But he's becoming an honorary Canadian. Obviously, there was a lot of success with the women, and now he's bringing that same type of energy and same type of success early on with the men's side. So we'll catch up with John in just a moment. Big night for just laying on the couch and doing nothing.
Just surfing.
Yeah, I'm
got
so happy.
Football, you've got baseball, Tampa, Boston.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes in primetime. Game 4 ALCS. You've got Boston-Tampa tonight.
There's only one thing missing I'd like to see. A great match.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a great match. I would love a great match on the pitch tonight.
Because you know that's our deal.
Well, we're going to have Michael Bradley on tomorrow. We had KJ on yesterday. And we got John Herdman.
We're going to change the name of the show to On the Pitch.
Yeah, Footy Talks. I love it. Hey, listen, man, you get a big win. First time in 34 years you beat the Americans. The country's going to pay attention to it. And I'll bet you our next guest, I mean, he's getting a lot of love. He should. 2-0 is 2-0 over a big side. He Here he is, the head coach of the Canadian men's national soccer team, John Herdman, back on Overdrive. How you doing, John?
How are you, team? I'm all good down here.
Yeah, we're feeling good too, man. I mean, you still living the life 48 hours removed from a big win? Are you still dealing with the adrenaline and the buzz or what?
No, yesterday I was, but no, back at it. Back at it. I had a big run this morning and starting to get my ideas formed for the next one. That's the big game. The big game, the real big game's the next one when they're motivated and we're playing them on their soil. That's the one I've got to get these boys ready for.
How many Molson Canadians went down after that victory, John? A lot?
Yeah. Well, back at our hotel, there was a few getting sprayed around, I'm telling you that. And those moments, they're the best moments. You have guys dancing around and just that euphoria. Oh, man, you can't beat it. Eh? You can't beat winning. You cannot beat winning. Particularly after that Haiti loss, I know how it felt. What it felt in the hotel, what it felt like for 2 months after. My God. You know, to get that win, it felt good.
And as you pointed out, you guys will be down in Orlando next month playing against the Americans. They're going to be scarred from this win by you guys. Now they're going to be on their home soil, probably a packed house. How different of an attack would you expect out of the Americans next month?
Look, they'll come in motivated, very motivated. And, you know, their fans will be taking notice as well. Maybe at a certain point, not many fans would have turned up for that match against Canada, and I'm sure there'll be quite a few coming out to support their team now. So I just think it's a big game for us. That's, you know, we did the first test. Now the second test is, you know, when they're fully motivated and they're playing for pride and respect and all the things we were playing for, you know, can our players still, you know, put themselves in that fire and come out on top? And these are the tests we really want.
With John Herdman, the head coach of the men's national team, you came on our radar with the women's side. And, I mean, you're playing the same game, but I'm sure it's a bit of a different approach. Have you changed at all in terms of tactics, in terms of motivation from the women's game to the men's game?
No, not really. I mean, you have to understand it's a different group. I mean, they have a vast amount of different experiences to that women's group. It's there's a few sort of things I have to be mindful of, and but outside of that, the cultural framework, the tactical framework that we inputted around the women's program, it's very similar. You just draw on different motivational threads to bring this group, and they've got a different history as well, a completely different history, which you can use. You know, the women were sort of top seven, top eight in the world when I was involved with them. This men's team, you know, have not been near those heights yet. So it's, there are some subtle differences, but in terms of the tactical framework, the way we played against the US is the same way we played against Zimbabwe in the Olympics in 2016. So there's, you know, the tactical blueprints, we've been able to transfer some of that work over. It's been a hell of a journey, I'll tell you that. I've been learning a lot, but I think, you know, that group of men are fully committed to take this country to the next level, just as the women were.
Well, you mentioned the history of the program. I mean, we're all well aware of it. When you first took over, did you sense an inferiority complex, a sense of insecurity among this group? And if so, how do you knock that out of them?
Look, we spent 18 months on the culture, on building that culture, establishing leadership groups with clear frameworks on how they operate and what's expected of them. And then bringing people in, like, you know, colonels from the military to talk about the code of their uniform and being in service to a country. You know, all of these things have, I think, been part of the foundation that they're strong now. They trust each other. They trust me. They trust Canada Soccer. They trust each other. And when that trust's there, then people can start performing at levels they didn't think was possible. So we've laid that down, and I think that's a real critical piece to get that bit right. And like I say now, it's about the chemistry. They're them now starting to play together more frequently and knowing how to get the best out of each other.
that victory the other day really helps the cause, though, doesn't it, John? You can talk about a culture and believing in people and an organization, but once that the results start showing, that's when everything really starts kicking into to overdrive, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we wanted. We knew it. We missed an opportunity at that Gold Cup. We missed a big opportunity to get our fans excited. But seeing the tweet, and you've got 300 fans singing "All Canada" in the subway, I mean, that's what we want this country to feel like. You know, we want the fans to really enjoy their football and be proud of their national team. And, you know, you speak to the players. Daniel Henry says it the best. You know, he just wants respect for the shirt and for our players and for those young players to be able to go into Europe and, you know, be respected, and the Canadian passport to be respected as well. So, you know, a night like that, it sort of brings that. And what it'll bring now is hopefully a different level of competition when, you know, we meet the USA, that there will be that respect there. And, you know, hopefully they bring another level, which will take us to another level as well. So, yeah, look, it's an exciting time. We needed that night. We needed that moment. And there'll be more to come.
With John Herdman, head coach of the men's national team, how many of these young players have the potential to be truly impactful players?
Look, you never know with football careers. You just never know. But, you know, what I've seen is that a lot of these lads, and I talk about Derek Cornelius, Kamal Miller, you know, I want to talk about Sammy Piette, you know, Jonathan Osorio. We're all talking about Alfonso or Jonathan David. But you watch Derek Cornelius out there, 21 years of age, you know, managing that U.S. front line, you know, playing in the Bundesliga, some of those boys. And then you look at young Richie Larea, you know, he's only his third cap for Canada, and he was able to nullify Pulisic. You know, there's guys in this team, Jonathan Osorio, I mean, I have to talk about him. I mean, what a performance from Osorio in that 93rd minute to have the composure to find that pass to Cavallini. You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, the two big guns that are playing at big clubs in Europe, but I'm hoping that the Osorios and others get the level of respect that get them now into the highest tiers of football, that Canada now can start exporting, you know, Derek Cornelius into big leagues in the future. I mean, that's ultimately what we've got to achieve, because if you're going to compete at a World Cup in 2022, you need a minimum of six players playing at that tier one level, those top five leagues, top five teams in the world. If you don't, you won't get out your group. And that's part of our foundation for 2026. We don't want to participate there. We want to compete. And we need Canadians playing in the highest leagues around the world as often as we can.
Well, you mentioned the next two World Cups, and I wanted to get to that point where I'm sure you're hyper-focused on 2022. You're in the midst of trying to qualify for Qatar. But we all know what's coming in 2026, where there's going to be games played in Canada. You're going to be a co-host of the World Cup. How do you avoid, you know, not looking past 2022 in a way and get incredibly excited for what could be there in 2026?
Well, I think people have seen it with my squad selections. You know, I've gone towards a group of players that could be ripe in 2026. Some of the veterans in the team, I've had those tough conversations that, look, you may be 32 in the same position as a 21-year-old, but I'm probably going to give these 21-year-olds the opportunity now. I'm going to give them the chance to start building a career for 2022 and beyond. And you've seen that. I mean, my squad selections have been questioned at times. We've put young guys in positions and moments where maybe more veteran players might have been better, you know, served. But I'm very clear that, you know, I promised to put this team and this shirt down better than I found it. And, you know, you can go for those short wins, but I've got to keep one eye on the future and one eye on the now, which is to keep pushing this team forward. So, you know, to see my squad over the last 18 months, there's been a lot of teenagers getting caps, and hopefully that's what we're laying, a great foundation.
Well, it was a big statement a couple of nights ago. A lot of people throughout the country paying attention, and I'm sure that will continue to be the case next month down in Orlando. So best of luck with that match, and thanks. Moving forward, we really appreciate you doing this afternoon.
No, I appreciate it, Jensen. I appreciate you putting the attention on football. I mean, it's bloody great you're doing that, and hopefully we get another win and you can give us another afternoon of extension.
You give us a win, we'll give you a full hour.
We'll grab a beer after the game, John.
There you go.
Brilliant.
All right, John, thank you.
That's right, my man.
Bye.
There's John Herdman. We got a brilliant out of him.
It was a brilliant comment.
It was.
Brilliant.
Listening to a British guy talk about soccer is just, we established that yesterday. Like KJ knows more about soccer than anyone I've ever come across. So he knows his stuff. He puts in his work. But he could be a complete buffoon. And he comes on and just starts talking. I'm like, this guy is
when
locked in.
When he gets going with our man, Caldwell.
Stephen Caldwell. The best.
It's soccer porn.
The best in the business.
The best. And their man, Luke Wildman, who directs traffic.
Luke is the smoothest cat in broadcasting.
That is soccer porn.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yep. Well, listen, man, he's pumping the tires. We're talking soccer here. They keep getting wins.
Brilliant.
We'll keep talking about it, man.
Brilliant.
You know, I'm feeling good. I feel like there's going to be a Dwayne Casey moment again.
Brilliant.
The voice of soccer in this country.
Brilliant.
I think it's up for grabs.
Brilliant.
We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Al's brother's going to be in for a throwaway.
Brilliant.
That is brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Al's brother is
has
brilliant.
To sign off on a Thursday.
Brilliant.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Brilliant.
All right, we got a pair of tickets to give away. TFC taking on DC United this Saturday down at BMO Field. Round one of the 2019 MLS Cup playoffs. A member of TFC will join us tomorrow. Who is that man? First one in with the name at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Who is joining us from TFC tomorrow at 6:05?
The midfielder.
First one in, you're picking up a pair of tickets, playoff tickets to BMO Field on Saturday. So we just had John Herdman on. We had KJ on yesterday. We've got this gentleman on tomorrow. And we said, if you guys go down there and beat the Americans on their turf next month, full hour of footy talk.
Brilliant.
Someone texting in with the name of the hour. Jerry's Footy Fetish Hour.
Brilliant.
That's the handle.
Jerry's Footy Fetish
Hour.
Brilliant.
That is brilliant.
We're going with it.
Jerry's Footy Fetish Hour. If they get a win next month in Orlando, we're all over it.
Brilliant.
Big story today. Clearly, John Tavares, broken finger, out at least a couple of weeks. They got Boston two of the next three games. Could not have come at a worse time from that perspective.
Come on, man. Look at Boston last year. The people they lost, Chara, Bergeron, McAvoy. They just kept ticking along.
Yeah, no excuses, man. Yeah. That's the National Hockey League. No,
they weren't playing East Coast League teams last year during that.
No. Listen, I'm big picture, getting injured in October is when you want to get injured. I'm just saying, you got two of four against Boston, and it's
going to
happen when he's not here.
Putting on your big boy pants.
Yeah, that's right.
Time for the big boys to put on their big boy pants. It's not, let's see what happens tonight. It's go out there and be the best player on the ice.
Time for this team to prove that they're worthy of being considered a top seven or eight team.
No question.
I've said it. We've all said it. I've projected it. I've looked at their team on paper and said I think that's where they should be slotted. But quite frankly, they have not played that way. And this is even dating back to last year. Like the final 30 games of the regular season, they did not play well. Showed up in the playoffs and pushed them to seven, had an opportunity at home in game six. But the final 30 regular season games last year and the first eight this year have, quite frankly, just not been impressive. You've played like a mediocre team. So let's go. Prove to the whole hockey world and, more importantly, your own fans in your own city that the hype should be there. And it starts Saturday night. Boston in town. John Tavares out for a couple of weeks. So, you know, we've been talking about who's going to have pressure on them. The fact is the whole team's got to clearly step up their game because Hyman's out, Dermott's out. Noodles will be back tomorrow. Get his take on all this.
Get his take on what he thinks the goaltending situation should be or rotation or whatever.
Right. Well, Freddie will play Saturday. We know that. But beyond that, we'll find out. Thursday night or tonight, Chiefs 3-point favorites on the road at Denver. We both like the Chiefs. I feel like this is a big moment for Patrick Mahomes. This is a big spotlight for him. Primetime game. You've lost two in a row. Pretty much for the first time in your career, you're facing adversity.
I'll take Denver. I'll let you have the first pick, Denver, for 50.
Okay. Is this like a reverse psychology thing? Or are you starting to think like Denver's?
I'll chew on it.
Okay.
I'll take Denver.
All right. Yeah, I'm on Mahomes tonight. Andy Reid, short week. I worry about Andy Reid on a short week.
So the Monday night's a hunch. The Thursday's a 50.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to do this every single Thursday, but...
Come on, dude. What are you...
Well, I'm in the hole already. I've been chasing, man.
It's either a season thing for the rest of the season or we're not doing it at all.
No, the Monday night is the Monday night. But so we're trying to jump on a Thursday bandwagon. We'll do it tonight. But you're saying every Thursday you want to start playing Thursday and Monday?
Monday's 100, Thursday's the 50 game.
All right. You got yourself a deal.
That's how I like it.
You got yourself a deal.
Whenever a guy used to own his own casino in university, he'll always jump on board that train.
Right. I was trying to put up like a front. Like, no, I'd rather be responsible here. Took about a half second. All right. You got it. Lock it in. Because the survivor pools are done.
Yeah, like we got to find that out. Is there a survivor pool for losers and losers of two different pools?
Yeah. The third
layer. Like the rock bottom scuzzball survivor pool.
Third layer of loser survivor pools.
Text us, tweet us. We'll get in on one.
Yeah.
Our third one of the year.
I know. It's pathetic. But we're not alone. Carlo had two teams, I think, and he's out for both. Like, that's what we went out on one team. Going out on two in the first week.
That's a loser move.
You got to chew on that for a long time, man.
Big time.
So game four of the ALCS, must win for the Yankees tonight, too. I kind of feel like they're gonna win this game. Any news on Stanton? I haven't seen anything. We saw him running. He wasn't even really running sprints. He was jogging up the first baseline a couple hours ago.
In New York if he doesn't play.
He has to play.
Yes.
Like, his whole reputation is on the line. You have a quad injury. You don't have a broken hand.
DH?
Hey, DH tonight.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to play him. With a quad injury, you can't play him. You can't trust that he's going to be able to track down balls. But DH, give us four or five at-bats at home, must-win game. You have to play. You've got to play in New York. He's out? Get out of here. Just pack your bags now. Go home. Pack your bags and leave. Because that city, especially if they lose tonight, it's going to all be on Stanton. Wow, I did not see that. That is a problem for Giancarlo Stanton. Must-win game for the Yankees. All right, Al's brother, fire it up, buddy. Come on in. This is a big moment for us. We've been waiting for Al's brother for a long time. And
he's doing what? He's giving away the tickets?
No, we just gave away the tickets, so it's going to be a pro-line pick. And, you know, when we're getting ready to get out of here, we need a third voice for the Wool Chat then. And we thought he perfected that yesterday. And yesterday, if you weren't watching or listening, Jerry's Percentages every Wednesday at 5:30. Mike Johnson was in here, but Johnny went to do a SportsCenter hit or a That's Hockey hit or whatever, and it got delayed, and he was off the show for like a half an hour. And leading into Jerry's Percentages, you got to have a third guy for Jerry's. So we said, we got to go to the bullpen here, and we brought in Al's brother.
And now we're going to get Best Bets sponsored by Al's brother.
What's up, buddy? How you feeling about this new celebrity? A lot of people reaching out to you or what?
Yeah, no, a lot of people coming out of the woodworks from walks in my life from years past. Like, hey, saw you on Overdrive. Had no idea you were Al's brother. And pretty cool.
Well, I think you've handled it really well.
They want a piece of the action.
You want to say your real name? Or are we allowed
no,
to? No. Just got to be.
That is his name. Al's brother.
Okay. All right,
we'll
buddy.
Keep it a secret.
Yeah, we'll keep it. Eventually, we'll get it out there. You can find him on Twitter. Search for it. All right, man. Do you have a real heater here for Proline?
Oh, I got some tremendous information for us.
Tremendous information.
Okay, Al's brother, I feel good about this ticket. Let me hear what you got.
All right, time now for today's Best Bets brought to you by Proline. I'm feeling confident about all the road teams tonight. In the NHL, I'm taking Tampa as the visitors against Boston. Going to the MLB, no Stanton, that's a problem. Houston as the visitors against New York. They're going to take a stranglehold 3-1 lead there. And then let's go to the Thursday nighter. Kansas City, Patty Mahomes returning to MVP form. Visitor plus in Denver. Throw down $20. Pays you $164. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. You can get way into the game with Proline. It's a sport betting game that lets you get small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. Proline, get way into the game.
spectacular.
I don't even know what to say, but that's better than anyone you've ever done.
I'm in big trouble. Like, I thought Noodles was in trouble. That is a spectacular read. You're on Tampa, Houston, and Kansas City. I love those pegs. $20 pays what?
$164.
That is why you get involved with Al's brother. That's why you put faith into Al's brother.
Because he dug around and found those odds, and yours are like, bet 20, you win 27.
Yeah.
That is the man you want to be dealing
with. What I like about Al's brother and these picks, football, baseball, hockey, and the three biggest games of the night. You didn't dig around for some donkey games that no one cares about.
No.
Biggest game in the NHL tonight, Tampa-Boston. Biggest game in baseball, clearly, game four of the ALCS. Biggest game in the NFL, clearly, the platform game, Kansas City-Denver.
It's the games that matter. It's the games you want to be watching. So why not put some money on it?
You can find Al's picks again on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine, get way into the game.
It was amazing.
Yeah, well, that's great stuff. I guess we're going to have to see what Noodles has to say about when he returns tomorrow. And
well, we're going to get him in for the ProLine picks. You can't. You
if he picks a winner.
Fall.
If he picks a winner.
Yeah, if I'm losing, I'm not coming back out here. The people could be mad.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to deal with that. I'll take the bullets for you. But if you pick a winner, you're coming in here. You got to keep rolling, right?
All right.
All right. Grappler, you good with that?
I got no issues back here. It takes the pressure off me.
Yeah. Okay. The Grappler's losing his grip here a little bit. Al's brother's in. Megan's chirping him behind the scenes.
Part of the gig.
Yeah, we're going to have to go have a word with the Grappler. All right. We've got a football game, baseball game, couple hockey games tonight. Noodles will be back tomorrow. If you've got the hockey package, you've got to see Noodles out of the gate tonight in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be a few never knows.
Yeah.
He'll never know.
That's going to be his whole call tonight. Mark Stone just scored a beauty.
Never know.
Did that go in, Jamie?
Never know.
Noodles will be back. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clear Out sales event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. That's like paying only $75 a week.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout sales event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.